Are these people going to hell? Are they also condemned to eternal punishment? Do they fall under that statement in the Quran that tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any other religion except Islam? That verily, inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam, that verily the deen, the way of life, the way of living with Allah is Islam. And whoever chooses a faith, whoever chooses a way of living other than the way of living of submission to Allah of Islam, it will never be accepted from them. It will never be accepted from them. And in the next life, they will be from the losers. So how these people who have done so much good in their lives are going to be burnt in hell? Hell, my brothers and sisters, let us talk about hell. Hell is a fire. Hell is a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created. And when Allah created the hellfire, He said, O Jibreel, go and look at my hellfire. And the angel Jibreel, he looked at the hellfire. He went to Allah, he said, O Allah, anyone who hears about the hellfire, they will never go into it. And then Allah surrounded the hellfire with temptations, with ease. And then Allah said to Jibreel, now go and look at my hellfire. And Jibreel came back and said, Allah, I'm afraid that nobody will escape it. The hellfire and paradise argued with each other. Yes, the hellfire argued with the paradise. The paradise said, I am Allah's mercy. In me are the poor and the meek and the humble. And the hellfire said, I am Allah's punishment. I am the wrath of Allah. And in me are the arrogant and the proud. And they were competing and arguing with each other about who was superior, who was better. And Allah said to the hellfire in the paradise, yes, you are my mercy, and you will be filled. And the hellfire, you my wrath, and you will be filled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to fill the paradise, and He is going to fill the hellfire. This is the fact. And the hellfire is a place of the most extreme suffering, the most extreme pain, of every level that you can imagine, physical, mental, spiritual pain and suffering and torment. It is a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will burn the skins of the people, and then He will recreate their skins and burn the skins again, so that the people in there will taste the punishment. It is a place of heat, a place of pain, a place of suffering. The people will cry in agony for water. They will cry for a drink, something to cool them, and they will be given a water. They will be given a drink, but it is a boiling water that will scald their faces and burn their insides. And they will drink from a river that is made from the pus that flows out of the wounds of the people of the hellfire. The wounds of the people of the hellfire will ooze pus. And this pus will gather together to form a river. And this is all they will have to drink. And their food will be the tree of Zakum, a tree the fruits of which are like the heads of devils. And this tree is so bitter that if the people, when they try to eat it, they can't eat it, but they will force themselves, because there is nothing else to eat in the hellfire, a place where the people will neither live nor will they die, a place where the people will fall into despair, arguing with each other, admonishing each other, criticizing each other. The fire will surround them on every place. The smallest punishment of the hellfire, the smallest punishment of the hellfire, is that a person will wear a pair of sandals of fire and their brain will boil. That's the smallest punishment. And they will think that they have the worst punishment. But it is the least punishment. This is the hellfire. This is the hellfire. The fire that has been created, the fire in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish those people who have disobeyed Him. And a person may say, what could a person ever do to deserve such a punishment? What could a person do to deserve such wrath, such destruction, such anger, such humiliation? Well, I am going to try to answer this question. Why do people go to hell? What causes the people to be punished in the fire? First of all, I would like to examine an important issue. And this important issue is a question. When someone asks this question, how can good people go to hell? The first thing I like to ask them is, okay, give me a definition of good. What is good? You say that this is a good person. I am a good person. She is a good person. But what is good? What makes something good and what makes something evil? You see, the problem is this. The definition of good and evil very often changes from people to people and place to place. What may be good for me may not be good for you. What I consider to be good, you may consider to be evil. Let me give you some examples of this. Maybe there is a country in the world that is running out of oil. And it is good for them to invade another country in order to have access to their oil supplies. Now, this invasion and this robbing that country of their oil is good for the invading country. But is it good for the other country who is being invaded and who is having their oil stolen? No. It is not good, is it? So one person's definition of what is good is another person's understanding of what is evil. I don't know if any of you remember, for example, the war that happened in the former Yugoslavia, where a state separated itself called Bosnia. And this state, Bosnia, was attacked by the Serbs. The leader of the Serbs, his name was Slobodan Milosevic. He is a wanted war criminal for raping, murdering, and massacring Muslims. Yet until today amongst the Serbs, I have seen pictures of Slobodan Milosevic with a halo and wings like an angel. A halo, which is a sign of a holy person, and wings like an angel. They think he is a hero, a man who is responsible for raping and murdering and torturing thousands of human beings. One person's definition of a good person is another person's definition of an evil person. This is the problem. And then who defines what is good? You see, most people, you will find most people, they have an idea. Everybody has an idea of what they think is good and what they think is evil, what they think is right and what they think is wrong, what they imagine is the right way to behave and what they imagine is the wrong way to behave. Everybody has these ideas. But the question is this: where do they get these ideas from? Who told them this is good and this is evil, this is right and this is wrong, this is the right way to behave and this is the wrong way to behave? Most people, they just follow the pattern of their society. If you imagine the behavior or the morals or the characteristics of society is defined within a certain area, a certain parameter, most people make sure they fit inside that circle or area or parameter. If anyone goes outside that parameter, that's when people start applying labels to them, like, oh, that's a religious person, or that's an extreme person, because they fall outside the parameter of what is normal in society. But it's very interesting, for example, if you study the history of Buddhism in India, of course, I'm sure you know that Buddhism originated in India. Isn't that true? Yes? So Buddha originally was an Indian prince. But his teaching contradicted Vedism, or the Vedic teachings, the caste system. Buddha was against the caste system. He did not believe that salvation in this life depended upon belonging to a caste and following the caste system and worshipping various gods. He had a different idea in which he believed everybody was equal. This opposed the prevailing religion here in India. The Brahmins, for example, they believed that goodness meant following the rituals. They had set rituals, the worships of the gods, and strict adherence to the caste system. So you proved your goodness by being a good member of your caste. Their whole idea of what is goodness and virtue was contradicted by the teachings of Buddha, as he had a different idea of what constituted goodness and virtue. So who is good? Which one is good? Which one is the right one and which one is the wrong one? The reason why Buddhism, you will not find it in India today, is because the kings supported the Vedic religion and slaughtered the Buddhists. They literally slaughtered them, invaded their monasteries and slaughtered them en masse until there were none left or they fled. This is how they dealt with it. Is this good? Maybe it is good in the eyes of the people following that religion. I don't think it's good in the eyes of the Buddhist, or probably it's not good in the eyes of most of us. So what makes a good person? What makes a person good? One of the important things, of course, is your intention. What is your intention? By what and for what do you intend to do something? In Islam, of course, something is good only when it is intended for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. In order for an action to be acceptable to Allah, the first condition is it has to be done sincerely and purely for the pleasure of Allah, hoping for Allah's reward, His paradise, and fearing Allah's punishment. Now, some people, mostly what we call secular humanists, they say, oh, that is not a good reason to do good deeds, because you're afraid of the hellfire, because you want paradise. Surely the reason you should do good deeds is through altruism. You should just do it because it's good. And they propagate this idea of the benefit of altruistic behavior. I myself do not believe there is such a thing as altruism, doing something without any benefits. Because even these people who do good deeds, don't you think that when they do a good deed, they get some feeling of satisfaction? You know, I did a good deed, I feel a bit good about myself. Certainly they do. That means they are satisfying themselves. They want to feel inside themselves satisfied. That means they, in fact, make themselves the center of the universe. They themselves make themselves the center of the universe. This is actually psychologically more likely to breed arrogance and pride. Is that a good characteristic, to be arrogant? Is that a good characteristic to be proud? I don't think so. Whereas a Muslim, we do things purely and sincerely for the pleasure of Allah. In fact, there may be some things that Allah tells us to do it, even though we don't like it. And Allah tells us to leave something, even though we like it. It is not an issue whether I imagine it is going to make me feel good or not. For the Muslim, the purpose is only pleasing Allah, only pleasing the Lord of all the creation. So our intention has to be correct. But is that enough? Is it enough for the intention to be correct in order for the deed to be good? No. The deed also has to be correct, meaning the deed has to be done according to the Sharia, according to the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in the Quran and in the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need these two things, pure intention and the action must be correct. It is only when these two things come together, the deed is considered to be a good deed. If my intention is pure, but my action is not correct, it's not done according to Islam, it's not done according to the Sunnah, Allah will not accept it. If the action is correct and done according to the Sunnah and the Sharia, but I do it to show off, I do it to impress people, then the action is not accepted. It has to be both sincere and correct. And there is one other thing, very important. The deed has to be done with iman, true faith. True faith is the basis of everything in Islam. If our belief concerning Allah is not correct, if our faith is not correct, if we are worshipping something or someone along with Allah, then our deeds will be useless, our deeds will be futile, our deeds will be vain.